Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We're going to show a video in just a second here, but I would love to just say thank you to all of you who prayed for us, who gave so some could go. And what a great blessing. I love camp. It's not really camp. They tell us it's a resort because there's air conditioning and so forth. And all you can eat food. That's not camp. That's resort. They got the ice cream machine and all that good stuff. But I want to say thank you. Our chaperones that came, some of them are going to give testimony in a little bit. But here is a video of the week that we had at Teen Extreme. You enjoy.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm thankful for all the decisions that were made this week at Teen Extreme. Of course, you saw the theme was the beach theme. They had a lot of things having to do with that. And I got to discover something that I've been going to Pensacola for 6 years now. And they have something called the planetarium. Now, most of the people that go to camp are sleep deprived. And Brother Mark said, hey, I'm taking some people to the planetarium. You should come. And so I said, okay. And so we got into this nice, cool room. And you're looking up at this small IMAX type theater. And the lights cut off, and so did I. And I fell asleep within 2 minutes of the film. And I woke up when the credits were rolling. And some of you know A-Rod. He's since moved to Miami, but he got to come with us this year. And he said, Pastor Kevin, you're snoring. I think I'm going to be going to the planetarium a lot next year. So praise the Lord. So thankful for our youth group. We got to, obviously, we saw the pictures. We met with the Roddens and all of them. They got to bunk with us. And what a great opportunity it was. What a great time together. We're going to have testimonies now. I'm going to ask Daniel Stentz. Where's Daniel? Daniel looking. Come on up. And he's going to come on up and give a testimony. And then Brother Mike, if you're ready to go, and the joy. And then we'll have Ethan. You'll be last. Okay.
All right. Well, good evening. My name is Neil Stentz. If you don't know, I'm about to do something a little abnormal. Alicia has asked me to read her testimony tonight. This week was a blessing for me as well, of course, but she asked me to read hers, and so I'm going to read it. I should be patient with me. It's written in cursive, and I'm not really good at reading that, so it may might take me a second to figure it out. All right, she writes, I would first like to thank Beacon for the opportunity to go to the youth camp with my friends. I'm having someone read this for me because I knew I would cry, and no one would be able to understand me. LOL. When I was 12, I was the first year I was able to go to PCC, but at that time, I definitely had no idea what God was going to teach and show me in my 6 years of my youth group experience. This past week, every message reminded me of the decisions I made the past 6 years. My first year, I got assurance of my salvation, and the Lord encouraged and reminded me of that promise during the first message. The second and third message, I was reminded of the promise from my second and third years to make my walk with the Lord personal. My fourth year, I surrendered my life to be a servant in the ministry of Christ, and again, the fourth message reminded me of that promise. My fifth and sixth year, I made smaller but still very important decisions, and I was very much encouraged by those in all the messages. Thank you to all of those who help and donate and pray for us while we are at camp. Lives are changed eternally for Christ during those weeks. Mine truly has. Thank you.
Good evening. I want to thank you so much for those that prayed for us while we were at camp. So literally for 4 days, that's what Kevin and I and the chaperones ran on, the power of prayer. So thank you so much. It definitely was not the sleep that we got, very little. Thank you for the parents that for rearing some amazing young people. It's truly a blessing to be around them and with them constantly for 4.5 days. They're such a blessing and a really good testimony. What I loved most about it was, where do you see teens, you know, take time away from mealtime to study God's word and to memorize scriptures? They took that very seriously. I'm actually especially proud of the young ladies this year. I think they gave us a run for our money, but boys, we still beat them. So that was good. We had some very good preaching. We got to be with the Baptist Pope. Johnny Pope was amazing. And even the rabbit trails that he went on, he said, hey, we're going to do a rabbit trail. We're like, okay, here we go. But they were full of godly wisdom and you know, things that sometimes I needed to hear, right? They weren't part of his main message, but they were very good. And just like Brother Kevin said, it's not really camp. We get unlimited food of pretty high quality. We get to sleep in dorms. There's lots of air conditioning. As you can see, we didn't have a good time as far as food. We were almost every picture was about us eating. I'm like, every time we turn around, there's food. But the best part about it was the godly food that we received this week. And I appreciate the ones that came. And also, for those that maybe, you know, you're thinking about, oh, you know, I should have went. Some of you on live stream said, you know, it looks like they had such a great time. Well, a big part of it is just signing up and going and letting God speak to you through that week. And thank you so much for letting your kids go with
Hi, I'm Joy Pasco. Sorry if my voice is shaky. I'm not a very good, I don't know. Anyway, sorry. I wrote it down this time because I know I'm going to mess up if I didn't. This week at PCC was one of my many, many favorites. Everything was absolutely amazing. The games, the people, and especially the air conditioning. But one of my favorite things were the sermons. Brother Pope did an amazing job really speaking to the teens with so much emotion. It was so powerful. Every detail was so amazing, you could really tell how close he was to God. Every group learned something of their own. Every group learned something of their own with the sermons. Some learned about obeying the authority over them, and some learned about purity, and some learned something I found extremely helpful. God really hit me in the heart with. The last sermon he said was Thursday night. Obviously, the whole sermon was amazing, but I'm specifically talking about one thing he said. He said, if you have been abused, you are not someone's broken property. I was abused by my older brother for almost my whole life, whether it was mental or physical abuse. And for years, I thought I did something wrong. I thought I did something to him that made him like that towards me, and I hated myself because of it. I thought I deserved what I went through. But in the sermon, I finally realized I didn't do anything wrong. He's the one who did wrong to me. And now I know I am not my brother's broken property. I'm a child of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on June 12, 2025, I got reassurance of my salvation, and I've honestly never been happier. Now I just want to say thank you to all the staff at PCC for being such an encouragement to me, even though I was sleep deprived the whole week. And I want to say thank you to all the sponsors who came this year with us. We all appreciate you in more ways than we can explain. So thank you so much.
Good night, church. My name is Ethan Lowe. Many of you know me, some of you don't. We just recently joined the church, and I've had a privilege for this year to just go to PCC for the first time. I didn't exactly know what to expect, but what I do know is it was better than what I could have expected. And it really was a privilege, for one, to be a part of Beacon, to just be in that same group, and to just listen and to gain the wisdom from Brother Johnny Pope. Phenomenal teacher and just phenomenal just man in general. One message that really spoke to my heart was on Tuesday night. And one phrase in particular was, don't leave a trail back. The message was over David killing Goliath and how even though David slew Goliath with the rock, he still went over him and still cut his head off. So many times in camps and revivals and just life in general, we knock down our giants or we knock down our sins and we don't finish them. You know, we leave a trail back to go back to it. And it really spoke to my heart to make sure that those decisions that you make at camp aren't decisions that you go back to, you know. But It was just something that really spoke to me and something that really convicted me. And I really pray that all of the teenagers who did knock down their giants, that they do slay them. And I want to thank Beacon and everyone who just gave and was allowing just all of us teenagers to go. Many of you took off work to come. I know Brother Mike and the Whites, the Blaylock, Miss Blaylock, and just so many of you just took your time and was a blessing to all of the teenagers and just encouraged us, made us keep pushing for some of those verses where you just have to keep pushing. And it was fun and it was enjoyable and we had a wonderful time. So on the behalf of all of Beacon's teenagers, I thank you all for just allowing us to go and allowing us to have God speak to our hearts. Thank you.
So the ladies are going to come get ready for their song. Then we'll have the preaching. I'll be preaching from 2 Samuel chapter 21 if you want to turn ahead there. But be grateful for the teenagers that we have in our church. I want you to know the testimony that our group has had over the last several years. The last several years, we've been requested by counselors that have had us before. It's not necessarily because we help them win. It's not because we say all the verses. And I think it's because mostly it's the attitude in which they have. And what a great testimony. And again, once again, thank you so much for raising your children right. And I want you to know they all, most of them, had a really, really great attitude over the week. Even when things didn't go their way, things popped up. That wasn't supposed to happen. But great attitudes from all of you teenagers. So thank you guys so much. Alicia's going to come and sing a song that she sang at competition. And then I'm going to come and preach. You pray for her as she sings. And then pray for me as I preach. I appreciate it. You take your Bibles tonight, 2 Samuel chapter number 21. I'm going to give you a devotional thought tonight. I won't be long, I promise. I'm going to preach very fast, so I'll try to slow down. But I'll give you a devotional thought, and then we'll call it a night. 2 Samuel chapter number 21, verse 15. In your Bibles, 2 Samuel 21, verse number 15, the Bible says this: "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-Benob, which was the son of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt not go out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Several years ago, 50, 60 pounds ago, I played basketball in college. And my freshman year of Bible college, we had a coach by the name of Dwayne Hickman, one of the greatest coaches that I've ever had the opportunity to play under. He was a fiery coach, somebody who was offensively minded. He wanted to put the ball in the hole more than the other team, like any good coach, right? But my freshman year, I tried out for the team, and to my surprise, my name was on the list. I made the Crown College basketball team. And before you say, wow, you play college basketball, let me tell you something, okay? I love our school, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to play. But as far as college basketball goes, we were way, way down on the rung of college ball. And I made the team, but I did not play a whole lot my freshman year. When my coach would call my name, he'd say, B-Saul, come here. And I'd get excited. Hey, I'm going to get in the game. And so I'd run up to him, and we had those warm-up pants that had the buttons down the side, and I'd be pulling the buttons down, trying to get ready for the game. He said, go get some water for the starting players. Okay, coach? Come on, man. Don't do that. I'll never forget one time one of our guys turned his ankle, and he said, B-Saw! And I ran to him, yes, coach. I'm thinking, this guy hurt himself. I'm sorry that he hurt himself, but let's get in this game, all right? Go get the med kit. Okay. The time finally came where he called my name. He said, come here. He looked at me in the face. He said, B-Saul, we're up by 30 points. I don't think you can mess this up. Then he said these words, and I've always kind of remembered this. He said, get in there and get after it. Get in there and get after it. We come to 2 Samuel chapter number 21, we have an example of a man who's getting after it. He's fighting for the Lord. He's doing some great things. We think about David, but we also think about his nephew Abishai. You think about David in this text, we think about him as a child. He was somebody who was a young man that was an obedient son to his father Jesse. He's anointed king in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, as we've heard so many times. He was anointed king, and then the very next chapter, his father tells him, hey, Jesse, I want you to go and bring the cheese and bring the parched corn. If you read that in the Hebrew, that is cheesy bread from Little Caesars, right? But no, bring the cheese, bring the parched corn over to your brothers, see how the battle is. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, David could have said, hold on, did you not read chapter 16, Jesse? I was anointed king. Why don't you bring the cheese and why don't you bring the parched corn over to the battle and you see how your sons are doing. I am the king. I don't have to go over and do that. But no, we don't find that at all. We find David going. He's being obedient. The Bible says he rose up early in the morning. He left with sheep, with somebody else to take care of them, and he goes to the battle. David is somebody that was after God's own heart. As a matter of fact, one of the messages that we heard this week was why David was somebody after God's own heart. We made our way through 1 Samuel chapter number 17. There's great lessons that we learned there. Then we find David's cause. David, as he got to the battle, he was there, and Goliath came out to the valley of Elah, and he, of course, we all know the story. Is there not a cause? David said his brother was criticizing him, but David said, no, this giant, he's running his mouth against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody has got to do something. Of course, he goes before Saul, and Saul tries to give him the armor, and David says, no, I haven't proved that it doesn't fit right. And David goes into the valley of Elah with the power of the Lord and five smooth stones and his sling. And he takes care of the giant, hits him in the forehead with the stones. The Bible says he fell down flat on his face. It's interesting, physics-wise. He got hit in the head. You think he'd fall back, but he fell forward instead. And we talk about how God came and pushed Goliath in the back, and he fell down flat on his face, as Ethan was talking about. He came, and David slew Goliath, took the sword out of his sheath, and it was a great victory in Israel. But now we come to this text here in 2 Samuel chapter number 21. The Bible says that David is faint. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, look at verse number 15. Moreover, the Philistine had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. And the Bible says, and David waxed faint. We find out that there's a young man that took up his sword and came to David's aid, and he helped in the battle. But I want you to think about this subject tonight. Get after it. Get in the battle. Go fight for the Lord. Do what God wants you to do. Get in the conflict. I just can't stop thinking about my coach when I was in college. He said, get in there and get after it. In this Christian life, we need to get in the game and get after it. I think about, first of all, just a devotional thought tonight. I want you to think about this, a lesson of the battle. A lesson of the battle. I'd like you to look, please, again at 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 15. The Bible says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. It's a reminder tonight that the battle that we face is a real battle. We fight a real battle. I'm reminded what it says in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 2. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen tonight. You and I and your teenagers and our children, there is a real spiritual warfare that is going on in this world. There is a real battle with a real enemy that takes real casualties, and God tells us to fight the good fight. Get in there and get after it, he says. This is what we're supposed to do. There's a real battle that has a real enemy that takes real casualties. Think about this. Not only is there a real battle, but we have a resistant foe. Think about it. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15 again. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war, what? Again with Israel. At verse number 18, the Bible says, and it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. 2 Samuel chapter 21 in verse number 19, there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines. Listen, the devil is always trying to fight. Anytime God is advancing, the devil's trying to stop that. And I've said this before, if you're a Christian tonight, then the devil has your number. But if you're a Christian that's trying to live for God, the devil has your number on speed dial. And there's always a battle to be fought. We're not on a cruise ship, we're on a battleship. We're not in a playground, we're on a battlefield. And we have a battle to fight. Fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says in the New Testament. And as a reminder tonight that we have a real battle with a resistant foe, there is a lesson of the battle, and you and I are in the middle of it tonight. There's a real battle. There's a real fight with real casualties. Secondly, tonight, very quickly, there's also a lesson of the past. A lesson of the past. First of all, I want you to consider there is remembrance. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "In Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David." I want you to underline in your Bibles there, if you're in the habit of marking things, the sons of the giant. Whose son was Ishbi-Benob? Goliath. That joker had kids. Goliath had sons, and Ishbi-Benob. I love what Dr. Pope did when he was preaching something close to this. He made it kind of like funny. And so think about it. Go with your imagination. David is like, okay, fellas, I'm going to go back to the palace. You guys can clean up here. All is well. And David's making his way back to his camel. And he's going there. He's tired. The Bible says he waxed faint. He's getting a little bit older, and he's making his way back to his camel so he can go back to where he was from the palace. And all of a sudden he hears that voice. Not just any voice. It was the voice of somebody that was really, really big. You ever come up against somebody that was really huge, really tall, and their voice was really deep? Still working on that. Could you imagine David, as he's getting his camel ready to go, he hears, "David! My name is Ishbi-Benob. You killed my father. Prepare to die." Oh, boy. David's got his walker. He's in some trouble here. This is a reminder that, yeah, David, he killed his giant in the past. So it's a lesson, remembrance. Listen, Today, the battle is in the present. There's nothing wrong with going back and thinking about how God's provided in the past. There's nothing wrong with thinking about how God came through in the past. As a matter of fact, you go to the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll find that word remembrance several times. It's good to go back sometimes and to think about how God's been faithful. It's good to go back sometimes and think about how when you didn't think that God was going to come through, he came through right on time. And we can sit here and think, oh yeah, David, and back all the way in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, he slung the rock and hit the Goliath right in the forehead. And God did it in the past. And we can sit there and we can live in the past victories that God has given to us. It's good to remember, but watch this now. It's not good to live there. Why? Because there's a lesson right now. There's a lesson of the past. There's remembrance. There's reflection. Past victories can encourage us, but today's battles must be fought in the present. There's a realization. There's nothing wrong with remembering how God came through in the past, how he provided, how he showed himself strong, but be careful about having the good old day syndrome. You know what I mean by that? Oh, you remember the good old days? The good old days in the old building where God did so many great things and God did this and God did that and God came through in this way. It's the good old days syndrome. People that live in the past victories. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is God still living today? God did some amazing things in the past, but I submit today that God's not dead, God's not tired, God's not on sabbatical, he's not taking a nap, he's not watching the U.S. Open, he is still powerful today, he still wants to provide today, and you can't be comfortable living in God's past victories when God has something for you today. David, yeah, you killed somebody in the past, but now is a new day and you have battles to fight today. It's a lesson of the past, it's a lesson of the battle. Thirdly tonight, lastly tonight, very quickly, it's a lesson of the present. Now think about this. First of all, David was tired. Look again at the end of verse number 15. It said, David waxed faint. I have to be honest with you tonight. I've heard Dr. Pope preach for years. I've heard him so many times, and he's always such a blessing. I was talking to some church members, and they said, I remember being a part of a meeting that Dr. Pope preached, and the pulpit had wheels on it, you know, the lectern had wheels, and he got on that thing and he rode it across the platform. Crazy man. I remember hearing a story one time. You see our modesty rail up here, and he was preaching somewhere, and he got up on the modesty rail and tiptoed across the choir loft. This is the man that we're talking about. He's a little bit touched in the head. No, a mighty preacher that God used in a mighty way. But I have to be honest tonight. He wasn't riding a pulpit across the stage. He wasn't tiptoeing on any choir banister. He even said himself, I'm getting old. He's been doing this. He's been preaching for over a half a century. You want to know how many years he's experienced? He was our pastor's homiletics teacher back in, the 70s? He used to come in. Pastor said he'd be shaving, Martin coming in, you know. You know, we all get old. Some of you teenagers proved that to me this week. You're getting old. Be quiet. This is one of the first years I brought a big old bottle of Advil with me. I was popping those like Skittles, man. But David's not the same David he was. He has the same heart. He still has a heart after God, but physically he's getting a little tired. He's waxing faint, the Bible says. You know what that means for us, the lesson of the present? Somebody has got to step up in his place. Somebody's got to take the mantle. Somebody has got to be trained with the sword. Somebody has got to come up after these saints, these men and women of God that have been faithful. They've served God with their lives and they're getting older. They're passing off the scene. Somebody has got to step up in their place. I was blessed today and a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to a church member at our youth rally. They said, Brother Kevin, you've gone full circle. I said, what do you mean? They said, you got saved at a youth rally at a conference, and you gave your life to Christ at a youth conference, and now you're the one that gets to put on the youth conference as a youth rally. That put chills in my body. I thought, wow, that was the way it ought to be sometimes. You teach somebody, and then they take them in as their turn. It's their turn. I think about this morning. I'm going to pick on you, Titus. But Titus, over there in the back corner there, he's going to Pensacola. He's learning to be a preacher. He's going to be in the ministry. I asked him a couple weeks ago, Titus, could you take junior church? I think I'm going to be really tired when I come back from camp. And I'd love it if you could teach the young people in junior church. And I made it real big for the kids. I said, guess who is coming in here next week? And he's going to teach you. And I hope you give him a hard time. Okay. His name is Titus. The kids, yay! Some kids, who's that? Other kids, oh, okay. I'll give him a hard time. Titus texted me last night, do you have candy? Yeah, I have candy. I'm going to give it some to the children if they answer the question. I said, hey, I used to do that. He got up there and he preached on Samson. And it was wonderful to watch. Those who have been there need to teach those who are coming up. Titus got up there and he was being funny. He was asking that he got to Samson. Did you know that Samson ate honey out of the carcass of a lion? The kids are like, ew. Titus said, that's nasty. Then he had the kids raise their hand. Hey, how many of you have ever eaten something nasty? They all raised their hand. They were barking out all kinds of things. Somebody said, I ate Brussels sprouts, and I ate broccoli, and I ate this, and I ate that. What did you say, Angel? What did you eat? Expired milk. Nasty! I told them one time at Good News Club, one of the kids, they loved to give me their snacks, and one kid put the snack in their mouth, and they gave it to me, and I go, anyways, that's why my immune system is top-notch, my friend. But it was encouraging for me to see somebody younger than me getting in the battle. It was encouraging to see somebody that has a heart for God and a heart for people. And we find here in our account here, David got tired, but Abishai had been trained. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. That means he ran to him and rescued him and smote the Philistine and killed him. I want you to get this in your mind's eye tonight. David, that was his nephew. Abishai was the nephew of King David. Could you imagine when Abishai was a little kid going up in the palace and David the king, the Goliath killer, was his family member? I bet they were fanboys over David. Could you imagine little Abishai in the palace? That's Uncle David. He killed Goliath. I was just thinking about it. He had his little wooden sword and he would practice with it. And I could hear his mom, don't throw those rocks around the house. I know you want to be like your uncle. But David would go, I can just imagine, like a family member would do. No, Abishai, let me teach you how to do this on God. And David would teach him how to use his sword. And maybe when Abishai was a little kid, it was just a little bit about playtime. But there came a time, listen to me tonight, there came a time when it wasn't playtime for Abishai anymore. It was time for Abishai to take up the real sword. It was time for Abishai to get in the real battle. It was time for Abishai to do something great for God. And here is the lesson tonight. Those of us who have gone on and we're a little bit more experienced in the faith, we have to teach those and reach those that are under us, that are coming up in the faith. I think about it tonight. There's the Gale Englishes that are gone on in the Lord, that they took the time to take me, a little bus kid, out to eat and explain the goodness of God, and that God is faithful and God's never going to fail you. There was people like Henry Crane and Brother Hunter that said, hey, you keep on playing that instrument. Sure, it sounds bad right now, but it's going to get better. Hey, you keep serving the Lord. You keep coming to church. I'm just saying tonight that there's people that are experiencing the Lord. Encourage and help and train those that are underneath you in the Lord. Pretty soon, I just marvel how fast life goes. So I'm going to shock some of you. Ready for this? I'm pushing 40 years old. You don't look it, Brother Kim. I know. My wife says, you don't act it. How many of you know that this life just speeds by? Pastor's down here. My first youth conference, he sent me to the bathroom because I was wearing shorts. We had to wear pants. Now I get to take the kids on a youth conference. Are you okay? You get to take the kids. But there's a generation that's coming up behind you and I. And God says it's our responsibility to train them, to teach them. Parents, it's your responsibility to teach your children. As a church, we're supposed to be around people who can teach others also. Somebody has got to teach the Sunday school class when we're gone. Somebody's got to lead the songs when we're gone. Somebody has got to take up the sword. It's like we're getting old sometimes. I'm not old. I don't feel old, but I'm a little older than I was yesterday. But somebody's got to come in behind, and it is our job to encourage and teach them to do so. Abishai went from a kid in the palace playing with his Uncle David to getting in the real battle and to making a difference. Leads me to my last little sub-point. It's a lesson of the present. David was tired. Abishai had been trained. And here it is. Now is your time. Get in there and get after it. Verse number 17, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. What is it in your life that you need to get after it? Get in there and get after it. It's our turn. We have to teach those that are behind us. And those of you who are younger than us, it's your turn. Hey, you can serve the Lord at any age. You know Jesus as your Savior. There's no age limit on serving Him if you know Christ as your Savior. While we had Beacon Kids Club, we were sitting there in council time. Aubrey does a great job teaching. Miss Jen will play the piano. And I noticed Winston back there. Hi, Winston. He didn't know I was going to do this. But Winston was conducting kind of off to the side. I said, Winston, you get up here. Not right now. But Winston, he got up there, and I was trying to teach him patterns and how you lead a song. One, two, three, four, down, in, out, up. And he's up there belting the song out, just waving his arms. You know, those things don't just happen. Somebody's got to teach them. Who is it in your life that you need to bring up? Who is it that you need to mentor? Who is it that you need to tell that God is good all the time and all the time God is good? Who is it that you need to say God provides? God is always present. There's somebody you can look around the church, maybe in your own family, but you can encourage somebody in the Lord. You can edify somebody. Get in there and get after it. God's people said, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray tonight as we have this passage of Scripture, we look at a giant in the faith in David, but even David got tired. His heart was still for you, but his body was tired. And then there was somebody that came in and took up and got in the battle. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get in the battle. Help us to think about who's coming after us. Help us to be faithful to you because you've been faithful to us. Lord, for this invitation that we commit it to your hands, we pray for decisions to be made, for those to draw close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. And keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment tonight. I want us to commit tonight to pray for our young people. Maybe get somebody in your mind's eye. Maybe it's one of our teenagers, somebody in your family, somebody that you can mentor. I want you to think about somebody in your mind's eye that you can make a difference in their life. Encourage them. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Kevin, I'm a Christian. I know that I'm born again. I have Bible reasons to prove it. But the Lord has spoken to me about something from the message tonight. If you're here tonight and that's your testimony, would you just slip your hand up in the air? Praise the Lord. In the next few moments here, we're going to have a time of prayer. Pray. Ask God to use you. Ask God to put somebody on your heart that you can encourage in the Lord. And for you teenagers, get in the battle. You don't have to wait until you're older. You can get in the battle right now. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Brother Kevin, I'm not sure that I'm even a Christian. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I didn't really preach a salvation tonight, message tonight. But God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. If you're not sure about your salvation, would you slip? I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you, but you just slip your hand up in the air. I'd love to pray for you tonight. All right. Well, let's stand, please. We'll pray and we'll have a song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. This is one of the songs that we heard at camp this week. And we'll pray and we'll have the altar open. Father, thank you for the testimonies tonight. For all that's been said and done, I pray for this time of invitation. Help us as a church family to come together, to edify, to encourage this next generation. God, help us to get in the battle. Help us to get in there and get after it in Jesus' name. As we sing, I can hear the Savior calling. The altar is open. Your pew right there can be a place you could pray. And I encourage you, pray for somebody that you can encourage tonight as we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. One more verse tonight. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for really this entire day. And Lord, just what great messages, both this morning, that reminder to not just be a fan, to be a follower, and how that connects to tonight's message, Lord, that as we follow, let's get after it. And I pray that we would, as a church family, Lord, as believers this evening, Father, I pray that you bless us as we go out this week, Lord, and as we come in contact with folks who need the gospel, help us to be that faithful witness wherever we may go. Again, thank you for our young people, Lord. Just I pray that you continue to put a hedge about them, Lord, guide them, guard their hearts, Lord, and I just pray that you just continue to use their lives to be a great testimony for your glory. Thank you tonight for just being here, and I pray that you just help us as we dismiss, keep us safe as we travel home. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God